The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
Another milestone episode of the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and now open in Five Points. A milestone number, 90. Chris Brame and David Johnston with you today. We'll talk some baseball with the MLB draft, both how Georgia fared in it, eight players taken, and also we'll talk about the Braves. Although the Major League Baseball draft, it's not like the NBA or the NFL draft. It's harder to follow, and you don't know as much about the guys that these teams take. Also, the Braves made, like, how many picks? 29 picks. So
a lot.
Yeah. There's just a bunch of players. And
the baseball draft is one of those where it's like, who's going to be the first one of these guys to make it to the big leagues?
Yeah.
But it's like, that could be a year or two. There's probably one or two of these guys that'll might get called up later this year. I don't know. But somebody will be called up next year.
And then, you know, what obscure, like, you know, 15th round pick or something will actually turn out to be pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Joey Estes out of Paraclete High School in California.
Is that a Braves pick?
Yeah. They took him in the 16th round, I guess. So, yeah, we'll talk draft. And also, big event next Tuesday as you listen to this, June the 11th. Big day for Georgia Tech here in Athens. For some reason, their head coach, Jeff Collins, is coming to town for a very special day with GT football. And when I first saw that, I thought, all right, this is like an internet hoax or something, and this is just some heavily photoshopped document. But apparently it is. It's actually real.
Yeah.
And it could be spectacular. So we'll talk about that too. But baseball up first. And I guess we could throw a brief mention to the fact that Super Regional play is coming up. Georgia not a part of it. Just a very disappointing end to what was a great season for Georgia. And just a shocking end, really, Dave. And not so much that, because it's baseball, it's hard to just be stunned that a team would lose a baseball game or a series like Georgia did to Florida State. But I guess it was just the fact that Georgia just got blown out twice against them and looked,
yeah.
I mean, it was just as bad as they had played all year.
Florida State got hot at the right time. And, you know, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it was a weird regional because there were six games. And in all six games were blowouts, and in all six games the winning team was in double digits. So it was just, there wasn't a 6-4 game or a 4-3 game. I mean, they were 13-0, 13-7, 10-1, whatever the other scores were. It was weird. You know, almost like you say, well, was Florida State, did they steal Georgia's pitches? Did they get some signs? Was there something weird going on? But you know, earlier that morning, Georgia had beaten FAU 13-0.
Yeah.
No signs stolen in that game. Tim Elliott was on fire. So I don't know. I mean, baseball of all the sports has the quirkiest postseason. It's the hardest one to kind of predict. And some years you think, you know, like in the NBA, if one team is clearly better than the other one, if they play a seven-game series, the better team's going to win. But in Major League Baseball and college baseball, if you get a couple of pitchers that are rolling and you get a couple of hitters that suddenly click, you can win a series that doesn't necessarily look like you might win on paper. And I know it sounds like I'm making excuses for Georgia, but, I mean, I don't know what else to say. I'm kind of speechless. But, again, it's just Florida State was that team that they won two games by blowouts over Georgia. Georgia won two games by blowouts. FAU won a game by blowout, and Mercer got blown out twice. I mean, it wasn't like, I don't know, that was just what happened this weekend. And Florida State, I mean, that was an advantage for them. They won that game Saturday night, and they got to rest Sunday when Georgia had to come out. Even though it was a stress-free win over FAU, they still had played nine innings. But other than that, it's just – it's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah, it's the margin of victory that really is the
exactly.
stunning part of it.
I know.
If it was a couple of tight games, maybe it'd be different. But then again, I guess just getting blown out makes it easier to just pass it off and move on. But, I mean, the Seminoles are a remarkable story because, I mean, you think when Georgia was hitting its peak this season, winning series at home against LSU and Vanderbilt in April, Florida State's RPI was in the hundreds.
Right.
And here they are. They had a controversial, I guess, even bid to the tournament that a lot of people probably attributed to the fact that Mike Martin was retiring, so they let him in and gave him one last go at it, and they made the best of it for sure.
And I'm sure their players, they hear all that stuff.
I know, yeah.
So it put a little chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of a believer in external forces, and I mean, I'll say when I saw Florida State getting sent to Athens, it wasn't that I didn't think Georgia couldn't win the regional, but I felt like, this is kind of weird. You know, is Mike Martin's career going to end in Athens? You know,
well,
he's
no.
No, as it turned out, no. But he had a couple of his seasons end in Athens. But, you know, if you said Athens, Baton Rouge, Omaha, where's his season, where's his career going to end? Athens would have been third on that list, you know, just as far as, like, baseball-type places. And here they are getting ready to play LSU.
Yeah, and, you know, Georgia jumped out to that lead on Saturday with Hancock on the mound, and then they just got to him in the middle innings there. But there's no – and look, it's easy to be looser when they were up, like, 9-0 in that game Sunday night.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could just – Mike Martin was, like, in his dugout goofing around and stuff. And, I mean, Coach Strickland just looked like
– Yeah.
I mean, it was just this intensity on his face. And I think that just trickled down. Georgia ended up getting tight, too, because they were realizing this is 2 years in a row we're going to lose as a national seed at home.
Yeah. And look, Florida State knows all about losing regionals and super regionals where they've been the favorite, too.
Mississippi State got them last year.
Exactly. I mean, think about this. So, Coach Martin, this is his 40th season. He's got to win one game this weekend against LSU to get to 40. So, he's won 40 every – actually, he's never won 40. If I looked at his year-by-year – the least he's ever won is actually 41, so he's never won 40. So he's had 40-win seasons every year, so he's got to win one game against LSU to get to 40. And if he wins twice, obviously, he goes to Omaha. But they've never won the national championship. And they've had regionals and super regionals that they were favored in and they didn't win. So, I mean, it's just you just keep plugging along. And you hope that you win your regional or your super regional and it rolls into Omaha and you win a national title. I mean, Steve Weber has a national championship. Ron Polk and Mike Martin don't.
No.
I mean, just it's just weird how that is sometimes.
And it's 42 straight postseasons for them,
correct,
too. So it's like,
and
well,
the next longest active streak is Vanderbilt at 13.
Wow. So you think with, like, well, if you keep getting there enough, eventually you'll
–
but for him it hasn't happened yet. But they got 2 out of 3 to get there. But, yeah, they've lost regionals at home to Kennesaw State. Mississippi State got them last year. We went down there one time. Didn't Ohio State win that regional?
No, that was in 2009. Ohio State knocked us out.
Okay.
And then they slammed Ohio State.
Okay, so they ended up pulling that
one out. That was a weird – we had that year we were down there, and we beat Ohio State in the first game. We hit like 20 homers, and it was a blowout, although there was like a long, long, long rain delay where it never rained because it was a lightning delay.
Right, yeah.
And then we lost a tough one to Florida State on Saturday. And then Sunday we came out and got beat by Ohio State. And then Florida State pretty much bludgeoned them to win the regional. It was kind of a weird regional. But, yeah, that was in 09.
Yeah.
That was 10 years ago.
But, no, they've suffered through those disappointing regionals too. So, but that came and went. And then the draft happened this week. And you had 8 Georgia players that were taken. And I guess it's safe to say that Aaron Shunk will not be returning next year as he went in the second round of the Rockies. And Tim Elliott was a guy whose stock obviously soared this year to get all the way up to the 4th round.
Isn't that unreal?
Yeah.
Unreal.
Tally was a senior who went in the 7th round.
Unreal.
So he wasn't coming back anyway. And then, Kristofak was the first one you get to then when it's, well, you know, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? As it turns out, no, he's going to sign too, so Georgia's going to lose him. You got Tucker Maxwell. Cam Shepard already said he's coming back. And then the Braves ended up taking Riley King, in the 26th round?
Yeah, yep.
So I guess we'll have to see on him.
Yes, so really of the 8 that were drafted, we really only know about, I guess, one of them.
Shepard.
Well, no, I mean that we don't know what they're going to do.
Oh, yeah, King.
Riley King. So Shepard's coming back. We know what the others are going to sign. So what's going to happen with Riley King? And I always need to point out when this is being recorded, but it is on a Thursday, June 6th, and it sounds like there's a very good chance he's going to sign with the Braves. I'd love to see him come back, play an infield position, and get a couple of hundred at-bats playing third base or infield or whatever, and see what he can do. I think he would completely up his stock. LJ Talley went from not getting drafted last year to being a seventh-round pick here this year. He had a great, great year. I think Riley could do the same thing, but it sounds like the Braves might have some extra money to throw around to some of their picks. Riley being an Atlanta guy, I'm sure there's the lure of the hometown team drafting you, you know, even though you need to really approach these things with your head instead of your heart. You know, would it be different if it were the Twins that took him in the 26th
round?
Yeah,
not the Braves.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so, again, I haven't talked to Riley. I don't know specifically what he's thinking, but I think there are a lot of factors. He's a terrific young man, and whether he signs with the Braves or comes back, you know, I wish him nothing but the best, but he's definitely got a big decision to make here.
Yeah, I would also point out the Braves have a guy that looks like he'll be playing third base for a good decade or so. He's playing left field right now.
Yeah.
But unless, you know, Riley could end up playing someplace else, but.
Oh, let's see here. Oh, what about second base? Oh, they got a guy that's going to be there for a while. What about shortstop? Oh, looks like they got a guy that's potentially playing there for a while.
And for some reason, they drafted two with their second and third pick, shortstops.
Weird. I thought it was a weird draft for the Braves.
Well, you know, it also.
And it's a different, you know, it's a different group now that's doing the drafting.
Yeah, it's double A.
Yeah. It's
not Arn Anderson, but Alex
even,
Anthopoulos.
You know, he moved out Brian Bridges and who am I? I'm completely drawing a blank. Roy Clark.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's got a different group in. So there's that different philosophy, I guess. And, you know, because normally the group before,
they were taking pitchers. Yeah.
It didn't matter. They were taking pitchers. And now here we see a catcher get taken, a shortstop, another shortstop, and then a pitcher that might not necessarily end up being a pitcher. I don't know what's going on there.
Well, and I guess if you look at for the last couple of years in the farm system, catcher's been that one position where there hasn't been an obvious like future prospect that's on the horizon. So, you know, to that end, I guess the Langoliers pick makes – I get that one. He did just have 11 RBIs in a game last week.
Yes, he did.
Against Omaha, though.
Yes, which I didn't realize there was an Omaha.
Yeah, but, with the recent long-term deals for Albies and Acuna, I guess Swanson is the one that the Braves haven't committed to yet for a while down the road. Maybe that's why Swanson's already hit like 12 home runs.
Yeah.
So, like, hey,
yeah,
don't forget about me, but you know, maybe there's some signal there that they're not – entirely convinced that Swanson's a guy that they want to tie themselves to for a while. So they went with Shoemake and then Bo Phillip out of Oregon State. And if you're a good shortstop, that's probably a position more than any other. You could get to play somewhere else. So you're not necessarily going to be just locked into being a shortstop. But yeah, it was still a strange draft.
But the thing about the baseball draft, as opposed to like the NBA draft or the NFL draft, is you're not like drafting a shortstop that you need to come in and play immediately. You're not drafting a third baseman in the first round necessarily. Like in the NFL, we're taking a left tackle with the fourth overall pick, and by God,
he's starting. Yeah,
that later that year, so the baseball draft's a little bit different as far as that goes, obviously. But like you said, it is kind of strange to see the way the Braves drafted and the positions that they drafted, knowing where they might be strong down the road. So I guess these are guys. Hey, the Diamondbacks drafted Dansby Swanson, and they turned around and traded him. So
was with the number one overall.
He was a 1-1.
Yeah.
So, you know, who's to say that the Braves might not do that with a couple of these guys? And I think Braden Shoemake is a really good player, but number 21 overall, I just don't know. That does seem kind of strange.
Yeah, I mean, when you were looking at draft boards before the draft, it wasn't like he was one that was popping up there that high.
When the Dogs beat A&M a couple of weeks ago in Hoover at the SEC tournament, Shoemake led off the game with a double, and they only got one more hit the rest of the game, and that was the game where Cam Shepard hit the home run in the ninth inning to win it. So I was like, you know, is it – and, you know, we don't play A&M all the time, so haven't seen him play a ton. But it was just funny because I was thinking back through that game, and I was like, you know, like when Swanson was playing for Vanderbilt – now, granted, we got to see him every year, and he was very good. But even he didn't pop off the page, say, like an Alex Bregman did at LSU or something like that. That's the weird thing, and it was like – if Swanson didn't pop as much as Bregman, and I'm not a scout, so I'm not the authority or anything, and Shoemake didn't pop like Swanson, where does that put him in my eyes? And it's just like, to me, it's like, okay, well, he's a very good player, but is he the number 21 pick?
21 overall, yeah, it is strange.
Yeah, I don't know.
And especially when you look at the position too, shortstop, unless there is some potential for him to play other positions, but even other positions got okay. Riley is the future at third. Albies, they just have locked him up at second base, and then you currently have Swanson, who is having a good year, but maybe that's because he's trying to.
Is it a contract?
He's trying to get paid too, like they've done for Acuna, and
for Swanson too. It sounds like he's healthy again. Like, he had that wrist injury that was bothering him, and he got that fixed during the offseason. And maybe there is something to say that, oh, by the way, he had a bad wrist, and he got surgery, and now here he is having a great year.
So but the Braves are about to be in a position where they're probably going to have to rework Freeman's contract.
Yep.
And
they're not going to get Kimbrell.
No, he's going to the Cubs, right?
He's going to the Cubs.
And they're, I would imagine they're – within the next year or so, they're going to end up trying to do the same deal with Austin Riley that they just did with Acuna and Albies.
Yep.
So, and they're going to have to.
Yeah. And they're good now. I mean, if the playoffs started today, they're a wild card team. You would think sometimes by the fan base they were horrible, but they do have a couple of warts that need to be looked at.
But it's still like it's the pitching that I can't get past. Like, Gausman's been awful.
Right.
Freed he's sketchy now all of a sudden. Soroka's still solid, and all of a sudden, like, Tehran has been good, but I still don't trust him.
The problem with Tehran, though, is he doesn't eat any innings.
I know, yeah.
He'll go, like, five scoreless, or give up a run in five innings or 5 2/3. So he still, even when he pitches well, he expends a lot of pitches, and he taxes the bullpen.
Right, which will have its days every now and then. Like, hey, did you see them? The bullpen the other night pitched like five scoreless innings, and then the next day they're walking guys and giving up like four in the eighth. And
exactly,
it's a mess. So, the pitching is still a
maybe they
troubling.
Can get Madison Bumgarner and work in a reliever from the. Can they get Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith?
Yeah, well, once you get to the World Series, too, then Bumgarner is your top reliever also.
That's true.
He starts, and then the next night he's pitching,
he's
three innings.
Here.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
exactly.
He's given up one run in 36 career World Series innings.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. Crossover podcast here on 960theref.com. Listen there anytime on demand. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville. Also, their brand new location now open and serving you in Five Points. Chris and Dave with you. We'll take just a quick little break here. We'll come back and we'll talk about a big event coming to the Classic City on June the 11th that starring the head nerd himself, Jeff Collins. It's the crossover podcast here on 960theref.com.
True Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites, from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Washington.
All right, milestone episode 90, the crossover podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and now open in Five Points. Chris Brame from the home team, David Johnston from the morning show. And I had to do a double take and get some confirmation when I first started to see this flyer circulating on the internet a couple of days ago about an event coming to the Athens Country Club with tech coach Jeff Collins. All right, is this an internet hoax or is this something that's really happening? And it appears it is something that is really happening, that next Tuesday, which would be June the 11th, you know, whenever you're listening to this, spend a day with GT Football featuring Jeff Collins, the head coach at Tech. So for some reason, they're holding a big event here in Athens next week. And I almost wonder, like, if you're Jeff Collins, like, why would you even want to come here and, like, mess with that? Because what is that event going to look like? Are people going to show up to it?
Yeah. There are going to be, you know, Tech people that are going to come to. Is it going to be a huge, like, 1,000 people? No. Probably not even 100 people.
Dozen people?
Maybe more than that.
All right.
Maybe more than that. But, I guess it's just the appearance of it, right? Like, he's saying, hey, I'll even go to Athens and speak to the Tech fans. Yeah.
I guess. I don't like that the Athens Country Club is hosting it. I'm bothered by that, but I guess their members can do what their members want to do. So.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of unprecedented. I've never heard of anything like that.
Well, that's where the Athens Touchdown Club meets, right?
That is correct, yes. So he'll be speaking in the same room that Kirby Smart will be speaking in August.
Yeah, so you and a guest are cordially invited to spend a day with GT Football. Tuesday, June 11th at noon. You want to RSVP? You and I could show up to it.
How much?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Oh.
It just says we're invited. Yeah, I said that I think Kirby should RSVP, and he should show up with our offensive line and just sit in the front row. Hey, just wanted to welcome you to town, welcome you to the state, Coach Collins, and say hi and have, you know, Swift and Fromm sitting there too.
I mean, there are a few Tech people that live in Athens. I know a couple. So.
And I know, and you become aware of it when they do win.
Yeah.
But it's weird when they don't win, you don't notice them as much.
Yeah, it is kind of funny how that works. But, yeah, I'm kind of at a loss for words as to this.
Because I know there is a house in my neighborhood that there is a Tech fan there, and I became aware of that after the 2014 and 16 seasons when for a year they flew a Tech flag outside their their port. And then, you know, oddly enough, that thing has not been flying for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
There. So they
you
do
may
go
not see it flying again for a while.
I hope not. But they do go into hiding. But I guess this will be an opportunity for them to come out and go have a good time Tuesday with Coach Collins.
Brame, asking for a friend, do you think we'll beat Tech this year?
I do, but we discovered the other day, you know, they play the Thursday game before we play them.
That's right.
So the week we play A&M, they're playing Thursday at home against NC State, so they've got a couple extra days head start. Maybe that's why that number's only 20.5 and not 21, though.
Yeah, I don't know. It's bizarre that's going on. But, you know, weird things happen, I guess.
I think 20.5 is a Black Friday discount for that from Vegas.
Which is the better, if you had to bet that or the Florida game, you can only bet one, which one are you betting?
I'd probably bet
the Dogs, let's just say minus, is it still 4 or has it gone down 3.5?
I saw it 3.5.
All right. So which is, you can only bet one, Georgia minus 3.5 or Georgia minus 20?
I'll lay the 3.5 against the Gators.
Okay.
Because the thing with Tech, and we saw it last year, even though I guess Georgia still covered that game, but even if we're blowing them out and have our walk-ons on, they'll take timeouts to try to score.
Yeah.
So the 20.5, I could see them somehow coming in the back
some
door.
Some weird.
Yeah, because we've put Bennett in the game, and we're already focused on Bama the next week in the SEC title game. So I'll take us -3.5 in Jacksonville, though.
And remember, Tech has scored the last 14 points in the series against Georgia.
Yeah. I'm sure Paul Johnson will put that on his
resume.
Yeah. I ended the Georgia series on a 14-0 run.
Yeah.
And that was part of it. Weren't they taking timeouts?
They may have been.
Yeah. I thought they called a timeout.
I think I checked out at that point.
Yeah.
That was in the fourth quarter when it was 45-7 and they had only scored on a kickoff return.
Yeah. And we could have scored every possession if we just left our starters.
Because it was Georgia scored a touchdown, or I guess scored on every possession in the first half, and then scored a touchdown on the first possession of the second half to make it 45 to 7, and that was it.
Yeah. Like, we would have scored 66
yeah.
if we had just left everyone in.
Yeah.
But wise not to, since we had the SEC title game the next week.
Yeah. So, anyway.
But, yeah, I like that Georgia, the -3.5, and ordinarily that would trouble me, but, you know, this Georgia team the last 2 years is at those spots that you think could be problems for them, they turn out not to be. So, all of a sudden, I trust the dogs. It's weird. And I just don't see – there's just been too much nonsense floating out of Mullen and Florida this offseason. I don't think – I just can't see Georgia not going down there with a huge axe to grind with
he's
Kirby.
He's trying to backtrack now a little bit too.
I know. Yeah. He's even claiming, like, the attendance at the spring game. Yeah. Which, hey, that was our attendance.
What is – have we seen a number on Vandy?
No.
What's your prediction?
I would 20? Think – yeah, I would think we'd be about the same as we are against Tech, 20.5 to 21.
Right. Okay.
At least 3 touchdowns.
Okay. Cuz
the only numbers that are out there are Notre Dame 9.5, Tennessee was 18, Florida was 3.5, Auburn was 7.5, A&M was 12.5. Oh, South Carolina's out there too. That's the one I think we're -20 or something in that game.
Golly.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
Because that game is here, and then Tech was 20.5.
Yeah.
Because there were seven of our games that were lined already.
So we don't know the actually,
we don't know Vandy, Missouri.
Yeah.
Or Kentucky.
Okay.
As far as conference games go.
I was actually just going to try to be funny and say, oh, wait, we don't know the
– we don't know Murray State.
We don't know Murray State and Arkansas State.
Arkansas State's got to go to UNLV the week before they come here. So they're going to be on back-to-back travel for a noon kickoff too.
Do you think since they're going to UNLV, they would know the number on their game against us, and then they could play that number, and then there could be shenanigans?
Yeah, if they stayed over till like Sunday afternoon.
I guess they'd be gone before the I guess they'd be gone before then, but maybe they might have a couple of guys on the staff stay behind.
Like, ordinarily, I would look at that and be like, well, we've got Notre Dame on deck, and that's a noon kickoff. There's no way we'll cover that spread, because I'm sure we'll be favored by, like, 35 or 38. But seeing as how they're at UNLV and then come here, and the kickoff is at noon, which would be 11 their time, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they might just be zombies.
Well, that is funny. I didn't realize they were going to Vegas before that.
Yeah.
If I'm them, I'm putting all my eggs in the Vegas basket to beat them, because they know they aren't going to win here. And
right.
They could beat Vegas.
And so, I mean, what do you think if they're
or
playing
UNLV.
If they're playing at Vegas too, that's going to be a later game for them, and then they're going to come back and play an early game too. I don't know why we're putting that much thought into Georgia and Arkansas State. But
that's my bad, because I brought it
well,
up.
Well, I mean, I'm putting a lot of thought into it just because I'm wondering if Georgia will cover, like, 5 touchdowns against them. It's not really a matter of Georgia being put in some sort of a more competitive advantage just to beat them straight up, though.
Well, you know, we need to know these kind of things.
Yeah,
we can't wait.
Good teams win, great teams cover. And Georgia's been good against the spread the last couple of years.
By the way, there's no kickoff time yet announced for the Arkansas State UNLV game, at least on their website.
Okay.
They are playing Boise on a Saturday at 7:30 in Las Vegas. That one we know.
Oh, UNLV is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I guess. So they know their conference kickoffs, but I guess their non-conference games haven't been thrown out there yet.
Well, beginning in 2020, some SEC school is going to be gifted with a trip to Vegas for a bowl game. So that's that SEC.
That's an interesting story, too. I mean, it's not breaking. We knew that. We already knew that this was happening. Was there any of that we didn't know?
I think the
Independence Bowl's being cut off.
Yeah.
And now it's the Gasparilla Bowl down in Tampa, right, that's being added to the SEC slate.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I think Mississippi State played in that once already.
They did as a 5-7.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago.
But now it's permanent that the league goes.
Because so the Independence Bowl, I think this last year – was Temple and Duke? No, Temple and because it ties back to Jeff Collins. They had that crazy coach,
yeah,
Foley, and yeah, whoever it was that they played, they got whipped.
Right, but everyone thought they were going to win because their coach was all fired up for it. Yeah, and I don't remember who they played. But
it was like either the second or third year in a row that the SEC didn't have a team to put in it. So even though it was an SEC bowl game, the Independence Bowl's fallen out. The SEC's got 10 ties plus, you know, whatever ends up with a playoff.
Yeah.
So trying to get everything covered. That should be about right. Missouri's appealing their ban, right?
Yes.
So they'll probably, I'm assuming they will, I don't know if they're going to be denied or not. Who knows? But they may not be going to a bowl game next year.
They might have a good year. I think they're going to be undefeated when they come here.
I do too, and I think they're going to finish like 8-4.
So they're gonna lose here and just lose.
Are they
their
gonna
last
be 7-0
four.
Or 8-4 when they get?
They're
here?
Gonna be 8-0.
I mean 8-0. What are they?
They get
be
Florida and Tennessee at home though.
Right. Yeah, I know. I just think that somehow they're gonna lose to Georgia, obviously. So how many? So they're gonna be 8-0. I was thinking they would be 7-1 and finish 8-4.
Okay.
That's my guess on them.
Boy, they've owned the Gators and Vols.
I know. I know. I could be wrong. I could be wrong on that one.
You know, it might just come down to whether or not they've got some bowl eligibility to play for if they check out.
West Virginia is a swing game there, and early in the season, they get past West Virginia.
Yeah, but that's week two.
Yeah.
West Virginia, no more Will Greer and even Clint Howard left.
New coach.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Clint Howard.
their only road games before they come here are Wyoming, Nashville, and Lexington.
Yeah, Wyoming, that's a weird one, by the way.
It could be, yeah, to open up.
That's a weird one. They should win it, I get it, but that's still a weird game right there.
Josh, lucky for them, Josh Allen just finished his rookie year with the Bills last year.
That's true. But, yeah, the end of their schedule is definitely the toughest part, but like you said, they've whipped up on – they've had the number like Florida and Tennessee, and they should. I mean, Arkansas. I mean,
they should still
beat
be
them,
bad,
even though that game's not even in Fayetteville.
It's in Little Rock. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
They should still be terrible, though.
I love looking at these schedules.
Helmet schedules are the best.
I love it.
All right, appreciate you checking us out again this week. The Crossover Podcast, another milestone episode number 90. And if you want to check us out, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a little review there, or you can listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com. For David Johnston, I'm Chris Brame. This has been the Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and now in Five Points.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.